Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of the What If Podcast. I am your host, Quentin. Ladies and gentlemen, I hope you had an awesome weekend. I certainly did. I went out for the first time in a long time, and unfortunately, I did not make it out unscathed as I contracted a small head cold. So if I sound a bit congested, I apologize, but such is life. It is what it is. We're going to keep on keeping on because today we have a super interesting topic that I'm excited to cover. So about 2 weeks ago, I was reading an article that was discussing Gen Z in the workforce, and essentially it was talking about how these young employees are approaching their careers with a growth mindset. So naturally that caught my attention and I was intrigued, so I wanted to learn more. Today we're going to cover everything that I've learned. I'm going to give you my thoughts and opinions. And then we're going to talk about how employers and employees can move forward. But first, who is Gen Z? Well, these individuals were born between 1997 and 2012. They range between the ages of 13 and 28 years old. And they are a unique generation in the sense that they were the first to grow up entirely in the digital era. I was a millennial, so I remember a time in which technology wasn't as prevalent as it is today, so I can only imagine the type of landscape that these young adults are having to navigate. Now, in my research, I wanted to get an understanding of how Gen Z was being perceived by current companies and employers, and what I got back was not all too flattering, to be completely frank with you. Now, what it mentioned was that they were tech-obsessed and obsessed with their phones, specifically. They were known to have short attention spans, and they were overly sensitive. They were also referred to as job hoppers and or quiet quitters. Now, I think this is a little bit harsh, but I wrote my own little paragraph here to give you an idea of kind of what my opinion is. These interpretations of Gen Z are just that, interpretations. They don't reflect reality, but rather highlight a diminishing cultural mindset that we must work our lives away in order to keep up with the Joneses. This is human evolution being forcefully sculpted before our very eyes. Gen Z has unknowingly entered into a world of digital hysteria and is now burdened to tackle its challenges. There is no playbook, no historical references to draw from, only real-time reactionary-like survival to keep up with the perceived notion of the American dream. Yeah, I mean, just that, right? Like, I really do genuinely think that these young adults are faced with something that nobody else has had to try and overcome. And so I have a lot of sympathy and empathy for just trying to, you know, break through the mold in their own unique fashion. And as I was doing some research, I wanted to kind of dive into what exactly they meant by a growth mindset and how they're applying that to their attempt to find a career. And there were four attributes that continuously popped up, and they were the following. The first one is that they want to continuously learn as opposed to having or obtaining a static role in a company, which I thought was pretty unique. The next one is having a flexible career trajectory. Now, this basically meant that they're not necessarily interested in climbing the corporate ladder in one particular department, but they want more of a horizontal approach to their career. So being able to jump from one department to another. Again, that's a very interesting. I've never thought about that concept before, but if you're a young person and you're trying to adapt to all the crazy changes that we're facing, that makes absolute sense. The next one feeds right into it. It's that they are prioritizing skill over credentials. So they're more interested in developing these skills as opposed to having, say, a specific title or gaining a particular promotion. And then the last one is that they want their job to be purpose-driven, meaning that they want whatever that they're doing to align with their values to help give them a better sense of purpose and fulfillment. That makes total sense, and I respect that. Some statistics that I pulled regarding those particular attributes, Before I get into it, I just want to say I'm going to put all the links in the description below. So if you want to read these articles, by all means, I encourage you to do so. So apparently 42% of Gen Zs are pursuing trade work, even many who hold college degrees, according to the Economic Times. That one I found really astonishing. I know 42% isn't anything to write home about, but for anybody who went and got a college degree and then once they graduate, they decided that they were going to go get a job doing some sort of trade work. I'm assuming that that's, you know, like electrician work or plumbing or something along those lines. It's really, really fascinating to me, but makes complete sense because as we're going to learn later on, artificial intelligence is obviously on the rise. So this almost seems like them hedging their bet in a lot of ways, because those are two occupations that come to my mind that probably are the least to be replaced by automation. Now, 96% consider access to skill development as being extremely important, and 83% of workers see themselves as job hoppers, not just for change, but to diversify skills, pursue fresh challenges, and to find roles that align with their values. So those are just some stats that I had that I wanted to rattle off. I thought, you know, a lot of this I can totally relate to. Obviously, I'm not very far removed from Gen Z by any means. I was born in 1990, so it was only 7 years before the new generation popped up. And I get it. I mean, I understand where they're coming from. I quit my job because I felt like there wasn't much of a purpose or much fulfillment in it. And so I'm pursuing my own dream and my own goals to kind of align my values with what I do every day. So I completely respect and understand that. But the question is why has this ultimately been a trend that we've seen over the years? If you think about back when the baby boomers were establishing their own careers, they had a great relationship with their employers. There was almost like a symbiotic nature between the two where the companies really did value the employees and thought of them as being assets as opposed to just, say, a number on a spreadsheet. Nowadays, companies will let go their employees just to cut costs for a couple of months, and then they'll go back and they'll rehire employees for those exact same roles. Now, obviously, I'm sure that there's some mathematician whiz that comes up with these calculations, and that's how they make their determination to do those types of things. Because I can't imagine that they're doing it just to be evil. You know, everything comes down to profit. So in either case, it's just an interesting thought to me. Also, if you think about just a relationship between employees and employers back in the day, there was a lot of things were much different, right? You had a lot better economic stability. One person who lived in a house could essentially pay for that house, put their kids through college, purchase a car, and the family could go on vacations, you know, at least once a year. With one source of income, that's not the case anymore, as I'm sure most of us can relate to, right? If you want a nice house, you and your partner probably both had to have a job. Also, the benefits were much different back in the day. When I was doing some research and you know, speaking with my own parents, the idea of offering your employees a pension was not uncommon. And a pension essentially is the longer you stay with the company, they build up your pension, and then when you retire, you get steady paychecks in your retirement. That's a wonderful thing to work for, I would assume, right? You feel like, okay, I'm being taken care of. I have my nest egg. When I retire, I can retire comfortably, and I don't necessarily have to rely on this concept of Social Security, which I think most of us can comfortably assume we're not going to get our Social Security, or at least that's the notion that I'm under. Nowadays, benefits are really kind of, they're interesting, right? When I first started, the company that I worked for at the very beginning of my tech career, some of the benefits that they were offering was a cool office. And I'm not kidding. That's what it said in the perks and benefits. A cool office with games like pool and ping pong. Free snacks in the office. And occasionally you'd get catered lunch. Okay. I'm not hating on it. And don't get me wrong. The office was nice. We had a cool view. It was in San Diego, got a little bit of the ocean, and you know, it was in a valley. It was pretty. It was cool. But it's certainly not anything close to a pension. Now, they also offer things like stock. Stock can go either way as far as I'm concerned. I've had two different experiences. The private company that I work for gave me the ability to buy stock. And you're kind of taking a gamble in that sense because you're buying stock for a company that isn't public. You don't ultimately know what you're going to be able to sell that stock for if you're able to sell the stock. And to be totally honest, I don't think very many companies even go public. So again, you're taking quite a risk if you decide that that's the route you want to take. The other company that I work for was public, and they offered me something that's called RSUs. So essentially, they would give me free stock in the company as I vested over a four-year period. And once I quit the company, I was able to hold on to that stock. And because they were already public, I can now liquidate it at any point. But I'm going to hold on to that stuff. In either case, I really kind of find that to be more or less a smoke and mirror type of benefit. It's nothing even remotely as valuable as something like a pension. So basically what I'm getting at is I'd say that the relationship between workers and their employers has more or less eroded to a pretty significant point, and it's kind of sad to think about. And I don't know if Gen Z or millennials in general are thinking about these things as cognitively as I'm explaining it, or if it's just a matter of, you know, evolving with, you know, what you have and, you know, kind of going with the flow. But also, you know, we're kind of in a really interesting time as Americans where housing costs are, you know, rising. I spent $350,000 on a condo a few years ago, whereas my mom and dad paid for a house that's twice the size of that condo for, you know, $135,000. So again, you know, just cost of living is astronomical. Not to mention most people go to school and they get an education, and that education, you know, you're walking away with tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of dollars in debt. So there's a crisis going on, and I think that the one thing that we're all probably the most cognizant of, and the one that we should all be most cognizant of course, is artificial intelligence. So artificial intelligence, ladies and gentlemen, it's not going anywhere. It's only going to continue to take a stranglehold over our society, for better or for worse. As an entrepreneur, I'm excited about it because there's a lot of opportunity that will allow me to grow my business without having to hire people, without having to spend, you know, more money than, you know, ultimately I'd be expecting to pay. But of course, there's going to be some downsides to that, specifically to the job market. And these are things that I would imagine Gen Z is looking at. So a couple of statistics that I pulled specific to this particular crisis that I wanted to share with you. Graduate job listings in the UK have plunged nearly 33% year over year. And this is the steepest drop since 2018, and they're crediting it specifically to AI replacing routine junior tasks. This is according to Gartner. Again, I'm going to put all of the descriptions below so you guys can check out these articles yourselves. Another one that's a little bit more alarming, particularly to Americans, according to TechCrunch and other outlets, report that Microsoft saved a nearly $500 million last year thanks to AI automation. And this report comes 1 week after Microsoft had laid off over 9,000 workers. That is the third time that they have had a round of layoffs this year, which equate to a total of 15,000 people having lost their jobs. Again, I don't think this is going anywhere, to be totally frank with you. I don't think anybody who's listening to this thinks that it's going to go anywhere. It's only going to get worse. So going back to these Gen Zers having a growth mindset, when I was first looking at the idea of them, you know, wanting to have the ability to move, you know, horizontally within an organization, I read that, and to be honest, my first initial thought was that that's cute, that's funny. There's no way an employer is going to let you do that. But if you think about it from their perspective, it makes total sense because you don't know what jobs are going to be automated in the future. You don't know what's going to be kept and what's going to be, you know, ran by a bot. I would assume that people in sales for the time being, as long as it's like a B2B sales, a business-to-business sales, where you're interacting with C-level executives or decision makers within a company, that probably is not going to be affected too much for at least now, but you never know. But individuals who are in sales that are directly connected to consumers, I could imagine that automation is going to be at the forefront of those interactions. Now, marketing is another one that's interesting. I think that's definitely one that's going to be a little bit more in trouble. If you think about, like, for example, the entertainment industry, automation and AI bots can already start writing songs. They can make movies. The visuals are getting better and better every day. It's insane. It's almost like you can't even trust what you see on social media anymore. You don't know what's real, what's not. So I think marketing is in trouble for sure. But who knows? In either case, I think it's smart for anybody who's, you know, an early employee in the workforce to hedge their bets and to try and obtain as many skills as possible. And I also think that Gen Z and millennials specifically, and I don't think Gen Alpha are anywhere near this, but in either case, I think they're in a good place to kind of get in front of it for a few reasons. One, because we typically are the more tech savvy individuals in the workforce. If you're, you know, a Gen X, I don't know, maybe you are, maybe you're not. Also, I think we're a little bit more ahead of the curve in terms of being able to understand trends in the market and being able to understand what jobs are at risk and what aren't. So there's that. And then also, this is the best time that we've ever had to be an entrepreneur. You know, if you're someone who's scared of AI, lean into it. As an entrepreneur, I certainly am. I'm not going to be, I don't go a day without using artificial intelligence to help me. That there's obviously, you know, platforms like YouTube and social media that allow you to promote your businesses or your products much more efficiently. So if there's ever been a better time to be an entrepreneur, I can't think of it. So if you're listening, go after it. You've got all the tools and the resources necessary to be successful. There's no question. So what are employers going to do? Well, again, I think that they're in a sense, I think employers obviously have the advantage in terms of being able to dictate, you know, who they're going to hire, what they're looking for in an employee. But there might be some people out there that are a little bit more benevolent and, you know, altruistic in a sense, and you know, are looking to hire people because they want the talent. And if so, what I would suggest is, first of all, sell the role as if it's a product, right? Don't just tell them that they're going to, you know, have these one-off benefits that they can't carry on for the rest of their life. Showcase that the skills they're going to learn are things that they can take on to their next career, or that they can take on to, you know, if they want to advance their career in your company, how that's going to benefit them. Give them the option to move horizontally within the organization. I don't know how practical that is, to be totally fair. And then, you know, I'm not somebody who's just like, you know, trying to spit out these suggestions without trying to think about it holistically. But honestly, I think that that's kind of smart. It might even be a way for you to hedge your bets in terms of the skill sets of the employees that you hire and how you're going to expose them. The other one is, considering unique incentives, right? I'm somebody who loves to travel. I know that Gen Z loves to travel as well. If you're an international company, maybe offer the ability to, you know, perform their tasks or their roles in a different country. Maybe even just if it's a different state. If you have somebody who lives in California, you know, offer them the ability to live in New York for a little while. You know, working remote is great, don't get me wrong, but I think that there's something to be said to that an employer actually, you know, allow their employees to get to know their coworkers in a different setting and learn a different culture in and of itself. Also, from this is just my own thought. Maybe I'm crazy, but I'm going to share it anyway. I've always thought that when I have my own set of employees, I want to find ways to help them build their own wealth. I know people who are very savvy in the stock market. I myself do a lot of real estate investing. And so if there's any way that I can teach or pass on those skill sets to my employees, I think that that's a really, really powerful way to obtain, you know, strong talent out there that isn't just in it to do their task and go home and hope that they can save enough money to live a nice life in retirement, but give them the skill set to build real wealth for themselves and their family. Now, if you're Gen Z, that's obviously a whole nother beast. I think that if you're somebody who has been listening to this and does feel like they're taking on more of a growth mindset as it pertains to their career development, keep on keeping on. I really do believe that that's a smart move. Try to get as many skills as you can. I 100% agree with that. I also think that just staying AI fluent is important. It's not going anywhere, so you might as well just lean into it. Even if you don't want to be an entrepreneur, try to think about how, you know, up and coming technologies are going to affect your job in the future. The other one is diversifying your income. Look, we are in the side hustle culture. If you're not out there with a side hustle, you never know what's going to happen with your employer. They might let you go at the drop of a dime. I can't tell you how many times I've had friends lose their jobs even when they were performing well. So you never know what's going to happen. So hedge your bets, get in front of it, diversify your income as best you can, and in a way that makes you feel like, you know, you're going to be protecting yourself and your family. The last one is just don't join a company. If you're young and you're in college, don't join a company. Don't do it. Just go start your own business. Go have fun with it. Take a risk. If you're young and you have the skill set and the determination to make it work on your own, again, I've said it earlier on in the podcast, there's no better time than now. So get after it, guys. All right, here's my final takeaway. We're going to keep this one short. I think this was only like a 15-minute podcast, but I'm going to give you guys my final thoughts here. Young people go to college, they earn a degree, and graduate with unshakable debt. Why? Because that's the norm. That is what we were taught. Capitalism breeds innovation, rewards excellence, and incites greed. The endless pursuit of optimized output has led an entire generation to fend for itself. The solution? An act of personal sovereignty. The unwavering understanding that destiny lies in your own hands. Resilience is no longer an option, but a requirement. The veil of social welfare has been exposed for what it's always been, an illusion. We are the masters of our own autonomy. Stop waiting to be saved and save yourself. All right, guys, that's it for today. I wish you the best. Happiness and health. I'm going to go drink a ton of water because I can already tell that I'm going to lose my voice if I keep talking. But thanks, guys. I really appreciate it. This was a fun one. I'll try to keep bringing more relevant information to the forefront of our conversations, things that are, you know, trends and rising topics that will be valuable. But in either case, if you have any comments, concerns, questions, leave it in the comments below. Like, subscribe, all that good stuff. Thanks, everybody. Take care.